next speaker.
Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. So I'm here to talk a little bit about some research that I'm doing in Alberta in what we call up there the gray soil zone. And so just to start off kind of some of the rationale. So soils, as we all know, respond to management, and some soil properties take longer to respond than others. But they do respond to things like rotation, tillage, and fertilization. And so I just have a couple of references up here to highlight those ideas. So kind of the underlying hypothesis under this is that, or we wanted to see how long-term rotation and fertilization affected nitrous oxide emissions, growing season nitrous oxide emissions, and whether that those emissions were related to soil CNN levels. So the site we're working at is called the Breton Plots, and specifically the rotation experiment is called the Breton Classical Plots. They're located about 100 kilometers southwest of Edmonton, Alberta, which is I think about 53 degrees north latitude, just to give you an idea. And so these, this is a long-term rotation and fertility experiment that's been running, established first in 1930, and it's been a little modified a little bit over that time, but it's been consistently managed since 1980. And we have two rotations at the plots here. We have a five-year cereal forage rotation, and these letters here mean wheat, oats, barley, and then 2 years of alfalfa brome hay. So I'll just refer to that as the cereal forage rotation from now on. And since it was established so long ago, these things aren't fully phased or completely randomized, but these five-year phases jump from these strips here that I've labeled with the five-year rotation. And then we have another two-year wheat fallow rotation. And the wheat and fallow kind of alternate from one half to the other here. And superimposed on those rotations, we have these fertility treatments. And it's a little bit small letters here, but you can see we have from zero fertilizer controls, all four macronutrients, and then we have a variety of nutrient exclusion treatments and a manure treatment, which is cattle manure. That we use for fertility there. And the treatments that I are the focus of this work here are highlighted there. The five treatments, the zero N control, the minus N exclusion treatment, sulfur exclusion, and then the full four macronutrients and the manure treatment. And just to give you an idea of for the chemical fertilizers, the nitrogen source is urea, phosphorus source is super triple phosphate, potassium source is potash, and the sulfur source is elemental sulfur. These products are broadcast and incorporated every spring prior to seeding. For the manure treatment, the manure is applied every year to the wheat phase and in the wheat fallow treatment. And every following the hay plow down in the five-year rotation, and also in prior to the oat phase in the five-year rotation. So there's a little bit there. And just to note that the nitrogen rates do vary between the rotations, because we do have the alfalfa legume in the five-year rotation. The nitrogen fertilizer rate is a little bit lower, so 50 kilograms per hectare compared to 90. And then, to make life a little more complicated, we do have another split with the lime application. So we apply lime to both rotation phases in the wheat fallow rotation, but in the five-year rotation, we have lime only applied to the east half of all of the plots, and we exclude lime from the west half. And we apply lime based on soil pH. Soil pH is measured every 5 years or so, and when it's below 6, we apply lime to increase it up to 6.5. So these soils are a little bit susceptible to acidification because, this will give you an idea, so a cryoboralf, as according to the USDA classification, in Canada we call that a grey luvisol. These are soils developed on a boreal forest vegetation, and so they're different from the majority of soils in Western Canada used for agriculture, which are Chernozemic soils, which are grassland soils. So they really... productive Chernozemic soils in most of Western Canada. Agricultural regions have these really rich A horizons, but in the grey soil zone where the Breton plots are, there's very low organic matter. So when these soils are cleared for agriculture, the vegetation is removed and a lot of the organic matter, which is in the forest litter, is also stripped away, and so they start off somewhat impoverished with respect to organic matter. But it does also mean that they're quite responsive to changes in management, which you'll see. So I'm just going to start with some total carbon and total nitrogen numbers. And these are based on soil samples taken in 2013. And they're from 0 to 15 centimeter depth. And just give you an idea that these box plots here, I got total carbon on this side and total nitrogen on this side. The blue boxes are for the two-year wheat fallow rotation, and the red boxes are for the five-year rotation. And on the bottom here, we have the fertility treatments. So you can see that both total carbon and total nitrogen kind of mimic each other. The C-to-N ratio here is about 10 to 1 or 12 to 1. And we do have a really strong fertilization and rotation effect. Probably the rotation effect is stronger, and in both rotations the manure treatment has resulted in quite a significant amount, increased amount of carbon and nitrogen compared to the chemical fertilizer treatments. But there is some differences there, which I'll highlight a little bit later on. So in addition to these long-term kind of response of the soil carbon and nitrogen to management, we have we've been measuring nitrous oxide emissions on the five treatments that I mentioned in the previous slide since 2013. And so I only have data from 3 years, 2013-2015 here. Just to give you an idea of some of the growing conditions. So it's a pretty cold climate. We're right on kind of that subhumid region where annual precipitation equals evapotranspiration. But our growing season precipitation has been, all of these numbers here, I have these examples, are actually quite a bit lower than the long-term average. And in 2015, we had quite a significant drought. So all 3 years, temperature was quite similar, and the heat was quite similar, but in 2015 we had quite a bit drier conditions, and that resulted in differences in gas emissions. But I'm just going to, because of time constraints, I'm just going to show you the cumulative, kind of the three-year averages. So these are cumulative growing season nitrous oxide nitrogen. As a function of rotation, in the blue boxes is the two-year wheat fallow, red boxes again are the five-year cereal forage, and then we have the five different contrasting fertility treatments here. So you see that the largest impact here is from rotation, the largest factor, and there's the differences between the different fertility treatments within rotations are smaller, but I guess in general you see that manure has elevated emissions compared to some of the other treatments. And but in terms of the nutrient exclusion treatments and the full NPKS fertilization in the five-year rotation, there's not a lot of difference even in the control, but we see larger differences between the control, the NPKS, and the nitrogen exclusion treatment in the two-year wheat fallow system. So we can kind of get an idea of why that might be if we look at the response of wheat to the different nutrients in these two rotations on the different fertility treatments. So I forgot to mention that the nitrous oxide measurements were only in the wheat phase, so we can compare between both rotations. But you can see that in the five-year rotation, the response to nitrogen is significantly less than the response to nitrogen in the two-year rotation. And this is a result of that nitrogen credit from the two-year forage, the alfalfa nitrogen-fixing forage. And but the other big thing is in the effect of forages is the response to sulfur. So in the five-year rotation, because a lot of sulfur is removed in the forage harvest each year, over time we've had a much stronger response of wheat to sulfur. So if we compare the NPKS and the sulfur exclusion treatment in the five-year rotation compared to those two treatments in the wheat fallow rotation, we see a lot higher response to sulfur. So when we see a stronger response of yield to fertility than the nitrous oxide emissions, but where that kind of comes out is then in N2O intensity. So if we take the N2O and we divide by grain yield, which is on the left side here, or if we take the N2O and we divide by crop nitrogen uptake, the wheat nitrogen uptake, we can see how the fertility treatments now kind of have a stronger effect on the nitrous oxide intensity levels. So in both rotations, when we have yield-scaled nitrous oxide, we see the lowest intensities are in the balanced fertilization, the NPKS treatment. And we see the difference between the two rotations in terms of the nitrogen exclusion and the sulfur exclusion, how those rotations affect the yield response to those different nutrients and how that comes through in the N2O intensity values. And then we see quite strong relationships between those total soil nitrogen numbers that I showed you previously, and now if we look at that, how they affect wheat N uptake, we see significant linear relationships. Total soil nitrogen is also significantly linearly related to growing season N2O. You can see kind of some of the dynamics there. We have a strong linear relationship between N2O and CO2, which suggests that aerobic conditions in the growing season perhaps mean that nitrification is a major process producing N2O. And a big one here too is N2O is related to wheat N uptake, which kind of suggests that more nitrification gives more available N, increases N uptake, and so we get a strong relationship between N2O and N uptake or wheat N uptake. So, but when we look at the intensity, so this is N2O divided by wheat N uptake versus total soil N, we get a negative relationship. So that increase in N2O in the higher fertility treatments doesn't increase as quickly as the yield increases with respect to total soil nitrogen. So we get this negative relationship here. So quickly, I'm running out of time. Basically, we see a strong response to rotation. That's our biggest factor. There's maybe some hypotheses here. So if nitrification is the major process involved in N2O, then potentially increasing nitrogen use efficiency or increasing nitrate uptake won't decrease N2O without inhibitors. But I'll stop it there after acknowledging all the hard work that goes on behind the scenes. I'm very proud to be a part of, and my funders as well. So thank you.
Thank you. We have a question for Miles. So, there we are not applying sulfur. Why there is an increase in the nitrogen without sulfur, there is loss of nitrogen?
Not a significant amount. So he asked, when we exclude in the sulfur exclusion treatment, there's greater nitrous oxide. And numerically, maybe there's a little bit more in the wheat fallow rotation, but it's not a significant increase. It's not a
significant increase. When there is a increase in this total soil, there is an increase in the yield, and also there is an increase in the gas emission.
Yeah.
So that means
means of when we are getting more heat, there are going to be more losses of energy supply?
Yeah, that's what this data set shows, yes. Yeah.
Why it happens?
I guess because if you think about, we have nitrogen, we have transformations of nitrogen fertilizer, we also have transformations of organic nitrogen in the soil, and those transformations always involve a little bit of nitrous oxide being released. So when you have a greater pool, you
but
might...
But when we are getting higher yield, we are getting more nitrogen use efficiency. So it should, I think it should be otherwise.
If nitrification causes the N2O, you not necessarily expect a decrease in N2O with an increase in nitrogen use efficiency, because the crop takes up N in the form of nitrate, and so by the time the crop takes up the nitrogen, the N2O has already been produced.